Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Today is a special day in the Central Pennsylvania region, especially in Lancaster County. The Lancaster County Community Foundation is holding the 7th Extraordinary Give. It began at midnight this morning and will continue until 11:59 tonight. Until then, you can go online at the website extragive.org and choose from nearly 500 nonprofit organizations, including WITF, and direct a contribution to one or more organization. Every dollar donated at extragive.org will be stretched, with $550,000 from the Lancaster County Community Foundation, Rogers and Associates, and the S. Dale High Family Foundation, and other corporate sponsors. And there are $50,000 in extra prizes that you can win for the causes, too. As part of the Extraordinary Give event today, Smart Talk is broadcasting live from TELUS 360 in downtown Lancaster. Joining us during this first segment of the program is Sam Bressy, President and CEO of the Lancaster County Community Foundation, Tracy Cutler, the Executive Vice President of the Lancaster County Community Foundation, and Robin Stauffer, Executive Director at the S. Dale High Family Foundation. Thank all of you for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You know, I was just thinking, I'm going to get to see you guys once a year.
Yeah.
You can invite us.
Maybe we should do this a couple times a year. But I know. You roll your eyes, Sam. Like, I know that this is a lot of work.
We start work for next year tomorrow.
Tomorrow? You sleep in, I hope.
He doesn't sleep in.
No, he doesn't sleep in. Well, you know, I was thinking about this earlier, that this is the 7th Extraordinary Give. Mm-hmm. Yep. WITF and Smart Talk, we were there at the very first Extraordinary Give, so we've been here every year. And it's just great to see how much this event has grown. I remember your trepidation that first year, that you and Tracy, I say trepidation, maybe that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but thinking, okay, how successful is this going to be?
It's an understatement, trepidation.
Really? But that first year was, what, $1.8
million? $1.6
million.
$1.6 million the first year, 2012. We had invested as a community foundation, I think, of about $400,000 to actually deliver the event, and that money was kind of spent money. So we were standing at the Ware Center at the time.
Yes.
At zero, and there was just a lot of angst about what would happen and if people would give, and it's just been incredible. We've actually sat with you, Scott, several years when when we hit $1 million,
right,
at this,
right,
hour at 9 a.m. And right now in 2018 we're at 1.8, almost 1.9 million. So at some point, maybe you'll get to celebrate 2 million in the 9 o'clock hour, which is incredible.
That would be great. But $8.6 million last year. I mean, the growth is just a testament to, first of all, the event, but the community and Lancaster County and the Central Pennsylvania community, how giving it is of, you know. And you know, another thing is I look down at the list of the nonprofits that our listeners and those who contribute, I mean, that's grown, too. You're up to nearly 500 organizations?
Yeah, almost 500, yeah, organizations this year, which is an additional 30 from last year. So it's pretty incredible, and I think that people continue. I think this idea, and you helped with this, too, is the community celebrating what we care about, celebrating giving back, and celebrating all of the many, many important causes that are at work every day in the community.
And I'll just add that you have been with us from the start, which is fantastic. You're a participating organization. WITF is one of those 498 or so participating organizations, and you've been from the start. But what you do with your show and with the radio station all day long is truly embrace the entire community and celebrate the Extraordinary Give. It's not the WITF show, and we love WITF, mm-hmm, and want people to give, but you have embraced all the organizations and the event itself and the community, and it shows. And the community actually donates at a level that's five times the average across the nation in these types of events. This is the most generous community in the country.
Well, this may be the first time How, I don't know, but unless someone has moved here or they don't know a whole lot about Extraordinary Give. So, Sam, if you would, explain what this event is today.
So, in 2012, the Community Foundation started Extraordinary Give as a handshake to the community to say, hey, we're here, we do good work in the community, we care about what you care about, get to know us. And we did it as a one-time event. We called it a pilot, and we raised $1.6 million. And quickly, within the day, it was like, well, you're doing that again next year. We couldn't afford to do it again. So what we had to do is bring on corporate partners. And the first year, I just ran into Rick Rogers of Rogers & Associates, and he said, call me if you want to do that. And they became, Rogers Associates became our presenting sponsor from the start. Last year, the High Foundation, and Robin's here with us today, jumped on as our second presenting sponsor. We have L&P and Steinman. We just added Giant about an hour and a half
ago. Yeah, I want to ask you about that.
Premier Plus sponsor, these are big numbers. And we have a number of organizations, about 15 other organizations, who are investing in this. The Stretch Pool, which makes this exciting and gets people to give, the Stretch Pool's over $600,000 right now, which is just incredible.
So even from that 550 I said earlier, we're up to 600 now.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you give, your dollar is stretched every time you give with that pool of $600,000 of Stretch Pool. And it's really simple. It's about celebrating the nonprofit organizations, celebrating our community, celebrating generosity. It's all about the community and those important, vital organizations that serve, that you're going to be talking to later, that serve our community. And it's simple. You go to Extra Give, and you choose what you care about, and you direct your gift to the organizations that you care most passionately
about. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, Tracy. Again, I'll go back to someone who may not be familiar with Extraordinary Give, and Sam touched on it a little bit, but how does someone go about doing it?
Right. So at its core, it's an online giving day. So people can sit home drinking their coffee and enjoying the snowy morning and go to extragive.org and look at the list of almost 500 organizations, and you can choose by the organization, or you can look at a cause. So if you care about the environment or you're passionate about healthcare causes or education, you can find them by category. Find an organization, you click right on the name of that organization and learn about them on their own personal Extra Give page, and then you can make a gift. It's $25 minimum. You can make a gift of any amount online, and then, as Sam mentioned, most importantly, then share your gift. Share why you've given it. Tell your friends on social media. Send an email, call your mom. Say, hey, did you know about this? Extra Give, extragive.org. It's a chance for people to tune in, extragive.org, find an organization and make a gift. It's really simple. And really the most powerful thing then is to talk about why we care. And I think that's been one of the secret ingredients to why this has been so powerful in our community.
Sam, I remember having this conversation with you 7 years ago of where the idea came from. But a little bit of history probably works well in the conversation. The reason I bring that up is because of how Lancaster County compares with some of those other. So where did the idea come from?
Well, originally, online giving marathon started in Pittsburgh, actually, with the Pittsburgh Foundation, which we're friends with and associated with. And we watched them do pretty amazing things back at the time when the economy was kind
right,
of the
in
wheels
the
were falling off.
Right.
And we thought about it a couple years. And Kim Shorter, our chief operating officer, she actually brought the idea to me, I think 3 years in a row, and it wasn't until we were moving into our new office and we were rebranding, and Jan Bergen, who's LGH Penn Medicine president, was our board chair, and I was working with Jan, and she was pushing me to say, well, what can we do to make this sticky? How can we invite people in? And we sat around the press room one night, Tracy, Kim, and I, and Kim brought the idea up again, and the next thing you know, it was like, we're going to do it. But when we decided to do it, we decided to do it in a special way. We didn't want sad faces, crying right. babies and, right. and poor, hungry puppies. We really wanted to focus on the celebratory nature of giving and the fact that when you give, you feel good about yourself and you feel good about your community. And it's one day where, even with all the political divides and everything that separates us, giving and community and families and the organizations that serve us bring us together as a community, unite us, and we wanted to focus there. And so it's like, I've been told hundreds of times now, by people that it's their favorite night of the year. And it's my I would not rather be anywhere in the world right now than in Lancaster County for Extraordinary Giving. It's my hardest we work all year, and it's the best time we have all year. It's the best day of the year.
And you know, just as an observer, it is truly a celebration. I mean, I like what you said about that you wanted to do it a little bit differently and make it a happy occasion rather than, I mean, we're going into the holiday season. And I don't know whether that had anything to do with choosing the date. It's always the Friday before Thanksgiving. I always look at this as the beginning of the holiday season because, you know, people tend to pay attention more to giving at this time of year. But Extraordinary Give, Thanksgiving, Black Friday. Huh? All right, I don't know whether that's part of the holiday season.
Nationally, Giving Tuesday is after Thanksgiving.
Right, right.
So you come together, you gorge yourself with your family, you're thankful.
Yeah, yeah.
You go to Black Friday, you spend half your money, you go to Small Business Saturday, you go to Cyber Monday because you take a break on Sunday, and whatever's left, if you have a few crumbs, that's Giving Tuesday in my book. We want it to flip that. Lancaster County puts giving first. We start the year, we start the holiday season with giving, and everything else follows.
So Robin Stauffer, you were the Esdaile High Family Foundation, came on board, as Sam mentioned. Tell us about why you decided to get involved.
Sure. Well, first of all, the High Family has long been part of the fabric of this community and has long been supporters of many of the nonprofits here in Lancaster County. And so when we had the opportunity to be part of this super special day, you know, we jumped at it. It's, as Sam said, there's so many compelling reasons to be part of the celebration, the act of giving. And so we were grateful to be part of it.
Do you feel, I don't know where the word ownership is, you know, something that is the right word here, but I mean, I have to say that since we have been here at the beginning, yeah, that we feel part of it. Do you feel
absolutely
the same way?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think there's a couple of reasons that it's so important to be supportive of this. And first of all, it's, you know, it's the community coming together on this one day to celebrate philanthropy. Secondly, I think it reinforces all the great work that our community partners are doing here locally, and just gives everyone an opportunity to say thank you and here's some additional support for you. And then finally, you know, it's kind of a new idea, a new way of thinking about philanthropy, and that was also very attractive to us, just you know, another opportunity to think a little bit differently and to approach it a little bit differently and perhaps reach a new audience with our message. So I think a lot of good reasons to be part of it.
And that, you know, you just brought up something that there are so many unique parts to Extraordinary Give, but online completely.
Yeah.
I mean, there are, now obviously throughout the day, there are going to be a lot of places throughout Lancaster County where people can go for the celebrations, for the events. But the idea is to give at those places, but it's still giving online. Mm-hmm. You're not walking up and writing a check to someone today. Mm-hmm. This is all online. So I think that does make it unique, and it
right.
shows how, it's not great technology, but it's how technology can raise money and do some good things as well.
Right, and reach people that we may not have reached right. through other channels.
You know, Sam, that is a key point. One of the things that I think that a lot of people can appreciate, a lot of the nonprofits, a lot of the clientele, the people who benefit from those nonprofits, is that a lot of these smaller organizations get an opportunity today to get a spotlight shine on them, that will shine on them today, that they can't afford to promote like some of the bigger nonprofits. Like, they don't have a public radio station to talk about it, but some of the smaller ones that truly do important work, that get a lot of attention today and have an opportunity. For some, this is their only opportunity to raise money all year. I think that's something that is very unique as well.
Yeah, it's you know, that is an important element of the event. And you know, it's sometimes hard because there's almost 500 organizations, so there's a lot of noise. The noise is good noise. It's around giving and it's around the spirit of philanthropy, but there's a lot of noise. The last year, though, in our sixth year, a full 30% of the contributions that came in checked the box saying, I'm a first-time giver to this organization.
Wow.
That's the extra in Extra Give, and we really want to work at that. And I want to, we were talking a little bit earlier about partnerships long-term and ownership, and you know, we're so thrilled to have Robin and the High family, Dale and Sadie and Suzanne and the rest of the family on board and owning part of this, like you own it. And Rick and Jesse Rogers, I have to tell you, Rogers and Associates have been our partners from the very beginning. And this wouldn't be where it is for sure. It may not have even happened if it weren't for their early adoption. And actually, High Companies was on board the very first year we brought corporate sponsors on board. So we've been partners from the very beginning, and it's really important. And we did. I want Tracy to kind of tell somebody some
news. Yeah, there you go, Tracy.
It is exciting because while we've been sitting here, we were hoping, crossed the $2 million mark. Yay. In the 9 o'clock hour. Go community.
So we have, I have to do a little bit of math here, until almost midnight tonight to surpass. You know, I asked you before the program started, Sam, do you ever set a goal, a monetary goal?
If I ever do, I would never say it out loud. And I said it out loud once, and I got in deep trouble for it.
You?
So, look, we as the partners at presenting this event, we tee it up. It's really all up to the community, and it's all up to the community benefit organizations to decide what they want to give and what they are capable of giving. What we want is we want the number of givers to grow. We want philanthropy to spread in Lancaster County, and we want people to be introduced to something that makes them feel good and that they can get deeper and deeper involved with. So that's the main point for us. Hey, seeing the number increase year by year has been exciting, and seeing the number of donors increase is exciting. And one quick thing, you don't even have, if you can't give $25, you are still, we want you as part of Extraordinary Give. Log on, look at some organizations that you care about. Maybe you contact them. Maybe you share it with some friends that this organization you'd like, maybe you could raise money without ever giving. Mm-hmm. So this is an accessible idea. Everybody in the community is welcome.
That's a good point, too, is that you can learn so much about organizations you may not be aware of and the important work that they do. I mean, there's descriptions of what these nonprofit organizations do. So even if you're not giving, you can learn. Maybe volunteer. There's a lot of things there.
Exactly.
Sam Bressy, Tracy Cutler of the Lancaster County Community Foundation, Robin Stauffer, S. Dale High Family Foundation, thank you very much for being on the program and for
all you
do.
Scott,
thanks for having
us.
Thank you. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. The Extraordinary Give is one of the highlights of the year in Lancaster County. It's a great example of bringing a community together to work for a great cause and celebrating that community. Lancaster Mayor Deneen Sirachi is in her first year in office, so this is her first Extra Give as mayor. Mayor, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So your first Extra Give. Now, you were on city council, so it's not like you're unfamiliar with the Extraordinary Give, but as mayor, I mean, I always think to myself, you have to be proud of your community, your city, for the way that it comes forward and helps these organizations, these nonprofit organizations, which in turn helps a lot of people in Lancaster County and even beyond the borders of Lancaster County.
Well, I'm proud for lots of reasons, and I think definitely because this is showcasing the giving spirit of Lancaster County. One of, I believe, our core values as a community is to help others. But I'm also proud because many of the nonprofits that are receiving such generous support are directly assisting and being partners with us as the city of Lancaster. There is no doubt that government alone cannot do all that needs done, and I know that that as I'm looking at this room, even I see partners here. I just came from, two other events this morning. What time is it? 9:30. And we're off and running. And I know that partners like Lancaster Housing Opportunity Partnership, Church World Services sitting here, as I think about my priorities as mayor, there isn't a single priority that the city alone is working on.
And I should mention, I mentioned a few times earlier, but if you're just tuning in, Smart Talk is broadcasting live today from TELUS 360 in downtown Lancaster. There are 14 of the nonprofits are here today throughout the day, and there are a lot of activities scheduled. I'll be actually participating in the Groovy Giving Gig trivia contest this afternoon. There's a lot of people that has like a 60s, early 70s motif and theme to it. There actually are a few people dressed that way. Mayor, I'm sure you're aware of that, so you didn't see those people walking in thinking, oh, they went back a few years. And by the way, in our audience, if you have any questions or comments, we have a microphone here. You could step up and ask a question as well. But, Mayor, when you talk about how government can't solve all those problems, when you look at the city, what do you see as the biggest challenge, people challenge, things that people need? What do you see as the biggest challenge that the people of Lancaster need?
Well, the biggest challenge in Lancaster City, and I would say the biggest challenge for Lancaster County, is poverty. And this is something that we've been talking a lot about as a community, as the divide is growing in income levels. And we've seen, obviously, a flattening of income over the last decade or more, rising housing costs, issues related to housing, as well as making ends meet when families are working two and three jobs and it's just not happening. And so those are big challenges that we have to work together and all lean in on in order to be able to move our community forward. And I firmly believe that if we are unable to substantively address poverty in our community and county, we will not continue to thrive long term in terms of our regional growth.
That when they hear of Lancaster, when they talk about Lancaster and its reputation, that there it has been such a success story. I mean, the city has gotten national attention over the last few years. I have a sense sometimes that people look at Lancaster as, I mean, it was just I was about to say as an oasis. There was just a recent Forbes magazine that Lancaster is the number one place to retire to in the country. So there probably are some people that will look at that and say, well, Lancaster shouldn't have a poverty problem. Mm-hmm. But it's like any other urban area, and not just urban areas, but rural areas, just what you described earlier, people having to work more than one job to make ends meet, housing costs, all the other things that the prices have risen. And even though we are in a thriving economy right now, there are still many people that have not recovered from the Great Recession of 2007-2008.
Yes, and so I think it's really important to know that no community is just one thing. We are rated as the top place to retire. We've received kudos from Forbes as a top 10 coolest city. We are all of those things. We are a vibrant downtown, and we have stubborn rates of poverty. We are a city that is very welcoming of a refugee community, and we have issues around how we are connecting to transportation and jobs. We are all of these things, and that's the kind of complexity that city government and the nonprofit community and the private sector are working together on, and one of our great strengths is that collaboration. And so we are all of these things, and that I think is the promise and the opportunity that we have to keep our eye on a lot of different things, so we can celebrate like we're doing today while we are also attending to these other problems.
Those problems that you mentioned, What can be done to solve them?
Well,
I mean, I know if it's a simple answer,
we'd be done already. One of the things that we're working on, the city is working on in partnership with five other organizations, is addressing issues related to workforce development. And there's not a lot of slack in our system right now in terms of employment. Our unemployment rate is really low, which is a blessing for our community. We have excellent employers who want to hire. We have incredible institutions of higher education that are right in our backyard. And we also are having some struggle connecting people to those opportunities and those systems. So, you know, we're doing some really common sense things with connecting transportation in a different way to some of the business centers that exist outside of Lancaster City in Lancaster County. Literally, how are we going to be running 12 passenger vans coming into the city and helping people get to work for second, third shifts in places in Denver, Pennsylvania, like Four Seasons Produce and High Concrete? Those are some of the things that philanthropy is helping to fuel solutions-based solutions that are focused on actually solving a concrete problem and moving it forward to support the private sector in meeting their needs. And so that's not something that is going to require long-term philanthropy support, but it is requiring some assistance, which is coming from the High Foundation in partnership with the Chamber to figure that out in order for us to be able to really move forward. That's the kind of thing that we need to spin up. We're good at starting projects and pilots, but we actually have to get to scale, and this is what we're attending to. So that's just one example. Another thing that we're talking about is how do we do block by block work. I mean, when I was inaugurated, I talked about, you know, the city is 7-ish square miles, but really it's about 4.2. We actually have an opportunity to work block by block. And so on jobs, how are we connecting, literally knocking on doors? Hey, where are you working? What are you doing? How can we help you connect to the opportunities that are right here? There's 8,000 to 10,000 jobs that are available in Lancaster County. Not all of them are paying thriving wages, but lots of them are, but there's real barriers to get people to move up that economic ladder. And until we get in there and start doing it, we don't know the kind of systems changes that we need just locally that we can do ourselves. Because let's face it, we got to figure this stuff out on our own. Like Extraordinary Give, this was a really unique way to elevate and make it cool to give. What I'm really interested in and how are we taking that just the next step further is, like, not only is it cool to give, but it's really cool to be part of creating those solutions and getting in and doing the work. And we got to make those connections.
Mm-hmm. I think you explained this pretty well, but I always want to find out specifically why this event is so big for all the challenges that you mentioned. I mean, it kind of goes back to what you said very early on. Government can't do everything. But when you have a community like this that is willing to pitch in, not just financially, but all those volunteer efforts that they make, all the work that other, like you talked about, knocking on doors. I mean, again, this goes back to being proud, but how does an event like this help to make, I won't say make your job easier, but help to further the community, help to make it better?
So how many organizations are here at TELUS today?
14?
Yeah. Okay, so 14 nonprofits all in the same room, making connections,
right,
communicating
right
with one another, identifying ways that they can collaborate and create some synergy in their work. I mean, this is the kind of collaboration that's behind the scenes in supporting Extra Give. When I talk to my colleagues in nonprofit who are working in this, it's a day where we're all in it together. We are all rooting for one another's success. We are all wanting to increase the visibility of our community and the work that needs to get done. And oh, hey, if you're interested in this, maybe you want to talk to this person, or this person over here is doing some work on that particular topic area. That's the kind of thing that I think is fueling the behind-the-scenes partnership and collaboration, because that's what we need. It's an old model in nonprofits, and I spent 25 years in this space where everybody's out for themselves. No more.
We can't, no single nonprofit organization, just like no single government entity, is going to fix this. We have got to work together. And this is part of that relationship building that's happening in places like TELUS, but all across the county today, and those relationships are continuing throughout the year. Now, not all of them are going beyond today, but a lot of them are, because we're seeing about how can we sync up. And as donors, we're expecting more. We're expecting more. And so my relationship with Extra Give goes to the first year when, you know, I sat down with my daughter and we were like, okay, what should we do? And we went through as a family and identified what are
it's
some
a great
of the opportunities.
Family opportunity.
It is. It's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
And going into Thanksgiving and all the things that we're thankful for. I mean, we do have an awesome community and we can make it better.
Mayor, one of the things that strikes me as I was preparing for the program today is your own personal story. That, I mean, you are someone that you and your family experience some of these challenges firsthand. Now, I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but I mean, you are a success story in that. Okay, you lived in Lancaster, in Lancaster County, but things didn't go very well at one time.
No. No, and you know, my personal story and my family's story is not the bright spot, you know, in terms of my life. But I take those lessons, and I'm never far from it because, you know, no matter the situation I'm in, I'm not ever far from that memory and that feeling of...
Well, what is that memory and that feeling?
Well, you know, my family lived in a tent for like 6 months. We lost our house. My father got injured at work. I mean, we were on food stamps for a time. I mean, I was figuring out where to go to a friend's house to eat dinner. I mean, you know, it was all of that. It was shopping at Goodwill. It was really thinking long and hard about, we only have enough money to buy one pair of shoes. What pair of shoes is going to go with the most outfits? Totally teenage girl. But this was the kind of thing that was in my mind. And, you know, I had the benefit of a loving, supported family, even in the midst of a lot of stress. And not having money is super, super stressful. And it takes a toll on families. And the amount of time and emotional energy that's spent worrying about how you're going to pay a bill is... It cannot be understated. And I'm in awe of families, quite honestly, who somehow figure out how to make it work day by day, sometimes hour by hour, in order to get to the next month, the next start. And these are families that are scrappy, hardworking, creative, and who are spending a lot of time working on how to survive. And so that is never far from me because I remember that. I remember very distinctly the decisions about money that my family was making, about trading off, paying for insurance to pay the electric bill. That's real. And that continues to happen in our community. So for me and for where I am today, I'm never far from that because there are so many people who are living right on that edge, where they're just one car breakdown or one health concern, one, you know, one home repair away from sliding backwards and not being able to easily recover. And that's where we need people to help them get back on track in order to be able to move ahead. And I'm one of those people. I got back on track. There were safety net supports that were there for me. There were loans for me to go to college. I was the first in my family to do that. I don't take that for granted at all. So these are the things that, you know, everyday families in Lancaster City and County are struggling with every day.
Mayor Deneen Sirachi, thank you very much for being with us today. And it is truly a celebration. We'll always look forward to it coming to your city.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. We are on a Smart Talk road trip today from TELUS 360 in downtown Lancaster. It's the Extraordinary Give 2018. Boy, I had a hard time. Almost said 2017 again, but 2018 coming to you live from TELUS 360 in downtown Lancaster. A day of giving started at midnight this morning. go up until midnight tonight, or actually just before midnight. Sam Bresci, you're still here. Can you give me an updated figure? I don't have the numbers in front of me. I want to see how much.
$2.23 million
been raised so far today, starting at midnight, and we go till midnight tonight, raising money for nonprofit organizations, nearly 500 nonprofit organizations in Lancaster County, and actually some beyond the borders of Lancaster County. You just go to extragive.org. You see the list. You can choose one, two, three, as many as you want. Learn about these nonprofit organizations. As I said earlier, one of the great things about it is there may be some nonprofits that you're not aware of that do great work that you would like to support, and you can do that. WITF, I should mention, is one of those organizations, but you know, we're not going to sit here and say, give to WITF, give to WITF. Oh, well, we will. but at the same time, there are almost 500 others that that you can do that as well. Do want to mention, and we're very appreciative of this, that WITF's Smart Talk road trips are supported by Roof Advisory Group. We couldn't do these road trips without the support of Roof Advisory Group, so we do appreciate that. As Mayor Sirachi was just describing, there are needs throughout this community, and actually communities throughout the county, throughout the state, throughout the country. Even though we are in a robust economy statistically, we know that there are many, many people out there that could use a hand, could use some help. And that's what many, many of these nonprofit organizations do. Not just people, but animals, kids, healthcare, just so many different organizations that provide so much work and so many great efforts throughout the community. And that's the reason, that is the main reason for the extraordinary give. In each year, WITF Smart Talk, when we broadcast live from the Extraordinary Give, we use the opportunity to speak with a few of the nonprofit organizations that are participating in the event. So appearing with us today, Clare House, Evelina Dombrowski is the executive director. Ms. Dombrowski, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Also, the Pennsylvania Guild of Craftsmen, Karen Pfeiffer, is the executive director. Ms. Pfeiffer, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Children's Dyslexia Center of Lancaster. Heather Hinkle is the Center Director for the Children's Dyslexia Center of Lancaster. Ms. Hinkle, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And we're going to talk about the work of all your organizations. And again, this is just a small cross-section of the nonprofits out there. But let me start with Clare House. Evelina, where do you go by Eva?
I go by either.
As long you as said your mom would be glad to hear that
she,
you
I think
pronounce
she would
it.
Be proud to hear you say Evelina appropriately. Perfect pronunciation.
Clare House. Tell me about Clare House.
Well, Clare House is a transitional shelter for women and children experiencing homelessness. We can serve up to 7 families at a time. We have 2 houses in downtown Lancaster, and that's where we run our shelter out of. And while they're living with us for a period of 6 months, we're providing support and care and safety, most importantly, especially on windy, cold days like today, having a warm place to make a meal and do your laundry is kind of a blessing. But we also help our families get a full-time job and then stabilize their finances, reduce their debts if they have it, improve their credit if it was not so good before, and then ultimately finding and securing permanent housing, which is probably the largest barrier that a lot of our families have.
Many people, when they hear about something that's just for women and children, think of a women's shelter.
Yeah.
Maybe a woman, a family coming from an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
Now, you do have women that are in situations like that.
Absolutely.
But to hear all those other things that you do, this is not just women coming from abusive relationships. It is not a shelter. It is truly a transition for these families.
Absolutely. I think it is probably still a majority of our families. I think it's about 67%, last time I ran the numbers, that have a background of being a survivor of some sort of domestic violence, either the mother or the children. And so that is heartbreaking every time. But to see that that isn't the only barrier that our families have, that isn't the only background in their stories. They have as equally robust stories and backgrounds as you and I do, because they're exactly like you and me. And I think Deneen just said,
perfectly, that everything, you know, you'd be surprised what everybody's stories are and where people have come from. The families that we have at Clare House are amazing and continue to inspire me every single time we have a new family move in and we get to be a part of their journey and a part of their process. I think everybody is in a transition, you know, no matter where you're at. And so for us to be able to open up our houses to provide a stable place for them to start rebuilding, I mean, I think that's an honor, and we're happy to do that work. Mm.
Honor is truly a great word, great way to describe it, because I don't want to assume too much, because, you know, we all have our own stories, but yeah. I would think that there would be many people, many women, many families that coming to you, they probably look at it as last resort, that this is the lowest point in my life.
Yeah, most of our families have, not to cut you off, but most of our families have done everything that they could. They have exhausted all of their other resources, but, you know, in an earnest attempt to not be in a shelter of any kind, for a variety of reasons. And who wouldn't do that? I don't know if you've ever met a single mother, but I don't think there's anyone, any fiercer warrior that exists than a mother insisting on taking care of her children. And that's what we work. That's who we work with every day.
Why is an event like Extraordinary Give important to you? To Clare House.
I mean, it's an opportunity for us to not only be on the radio and get our name out there and kind of get our mission out there in front of people, it's also an opportunity for us to celebrate. I think that true spirit that Sam talked about is so real, especially when you do something as heart-wrenching as what we do. It can sometimes be really a delicate balance and a tightrope walk to make sure that you're inspiring people with the work that they're doing, that we're doing, and we're only able to do that with donors who care about what we're doing and what our mission is. And so to have a day where we can all get together and feel good about the work that we're doing in the nonprofit sector, partnering with for-profit, you know, businesses and government alike, I think it's an amazing opportunity to get all those together and find the best of all those things.
Quickly, a logistical question.
Sure.
If someone is listening, they may be in a situation where they could utilize your services. How do they do that?
They would just go on our website, clarehouselancaster.org.
Okay. All right. I want to turn to Karen Pfeiffer, who is the executive director of the Pennsylvania Guild of Craftsmen. And, we definitely have a nice cross-section of organizations. We're going to be talking about three different topics during this segment of the program. But, Karen, I have to, when I think of Lancaster again, I said this earlier, and there are many, many people who think of Lancaster as a home for the arts, galleries, restaurants, you know, all those things in the last 10, 15 years that Lancaster has become famous for. There are other cities because I don't want to, you know, leave those cities out as well.
Right.
But Lancaster has really made its mark in this area, and the Pennsylvania Craftsmen's Guild is a big part of that. Tell us about what your organization does.
So as the Pennsylvania Guild of Craftsmen, we're, of course, a statewide organization. So we have member artists, and basically what we do is we support those artists in their desire and need to make a living selling their craft. So we provide sales opportunities for them. We provide educational opportunities. We also have a program where we mentor new artists who are looking at perhaps doing, you know, art and craft as to make a living.
But those starving artists we've heard about.
The starving artists, right, exactly. So I think, you know, that's certainly one piece of what we do. I think the other piece is that in Lancaster itself, you know, this is our home, and as our board president would say, you know, everybody has to live somewhere, and we live here. So, and we love living here for all the reasons you mentioned. There is a tremendous artist community, but there are also a lot of people who just want to learn. They want to learn how to do something, learn how to make a craft. They want to come into our educational facility on Queen Street, or maybe they just want to buy some of this art from our artists, which is also on Queen Street. So we're trying to get the word out and give everybody the opportunity and the means to be able to create on their own. And so sometimes we do that as just an organization. Sometimes we reach across lines. And, you know, lines like Soft Lines, other nonprofits, and we partner with them to, you know, make a difference in their organization.
Why are the arts important?
I think, you know, anybody who has ever created anything, I think you just feel good. When you make something, regardless of if whether it's fine craft or just something you tried to do, but you did it yourself, I think it's a tremendous boost, can provide a tremendous boost of confidence, increase your self-esteem. I think people just feel good about themselves.
But why is it important, an important part of the community? Obviously, arts, the arts are very important to Lancaster, but anywhere, if you moved anywhere, what would you say to someone is, why are the, this is why the arts are so important here?
I think people who get to experience the arts generally have a different, perhaps a different outlook or a different feel. I mean, it's no secret that if you play a musical instrument, for example, that helps you in other areas of your life, and you know, in the other sort of technical or science skills. I think that it just helps to create a rounded community, and it helps to keep everybody balanced. So I really think it's a very important part of anybody's life, and I'm always anxious to create something on my own, too.
Heather Hinkle is the Center Director for the Children's Dyslexia Center of Lancaster. Heather, you know, this is, again, my sense is that there are a lot of different challenges that many people face, but dyslexia seems to not get as much attention as maybe what it should. Tell us how prevalent this is.
Well, reading is crucial to what we do in the world every day. I think many people take for granted the ability to read a street sign, look at a menu. I think there's this horrible phrase called pipeline to prison that talks about underprivileged, impoverished, and learning disabled individuals who either don't finish the school system or they're set up to fail when they enter the adult world after school. Have a higher chance of ending up in prison afterwards. So literacy is a very important factor to keeping individuals out of prison, to help them find jobs, to help them fit in society where everything around them is in printed text.
What is dyslexia?
Dyslexia, one common misfactor about it.
And that's why I wanted to ask the question.
Yes, so many people think that it's reading backwards, which it's not. It's not a visual disorder at all, but it comes down to, it's neurological, so it affects the brain and the brain's ability to associate, we call it the sound symbol association, the fact that each individual letter makes a sound, so we teach children how to identify letters and letter combinations and put those sounds together. Interestingly, it is a way that all children can be taught to learn, and we do use Orton-Gillingham, which is a multisensory approach to learning. It activates the visual, auditory, and kinesthetic tactile modes, so instead of just being talked to or taught at, we actually engage. We use a guided discovery approach to learning, and kids are more in charge of what they are learning.
All right, so, you know, I'm in the 2 minutes we have left, I'm not going to be able to ask you of how you do that, but if you could briefly describe, you know, how a person with dyslexia can learn.
So what we do is we do teach that sound to symbol pattern. The English language is about 85% regular, so we can teach children how to recognize and use patterns. For example, there are 6 different syllable types that make up the entire language. So when we teach those syllable types, it helps people to classify language, and it gives us the opportunity to sort of make that something that we take for granted. So all of these different rules that apply, they have to be explicitly taught. So we're taking the time to work with the individual.
Why is an event like the Extraordinary Give, other than the attention that you can get, but why is it important to the Children's Dyslexia Center of Lancaster?
For us, we're a very small organization. We serve about 30 students. We have a waiting list of about 15 to 20 kids at almost all times. It takes 1 to 2 years to get into our program. The one reason that we rely so heavily on our fundraising is it helps us to bring in more children every year. So instead of working with just 24 kids, which is what our budget is framed for, we now work with 31 this year.
And you say how many on your waiting list?
Right now we have about 15. It normally ranges from 15 to 20 children who are waiting.
How much money would you need to get those 15 kids in class?
It takes.
And I don't know whether in class is the correct description or not.
Our center is calculated at $5,000 to $6,000 per child per year for the service that they're offered. So it's crucial for us to raise about $5,000 per child.
I want to thank the three of you for being with us today. Evelina Dombrowski is the Executive Director of the Clare House, Karen Pfeiffer, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Guild of Craftsmen, and Heather Hinkle, Center Director for the Children's Dyslexia Center of Lancaster. Thank you for the work you do, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
But that is just a small, very small cross-section of the nearly 500 nonprofit organizations and just the fantastic work that they do in Lancaster County and beyond Lancaster County. And that's the reason for the extraordinary give. Again, go to extragive.org until midnight tonight. Definitely want to surpass that amount of raise last year of $8.6 million, but it's a perfect day. Lousy day yesterday, miserable day. Today, sun's out, snow's melting. It's a Friday. We're rolling into the weekend, going into the holiday season. Just a great time to give. Feel good about yourself. Feel good that you're helping other people out there. But I want to thank TELUS 360. We'll be here, and I'm actually participating in an event, a groovy giving gig this afternoon, the trivia contest. So